Good morning.
And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are delighted that you are here. I am glad to be here again. It has been a while. So it's always scary when a preacher's had 2 weeks off. You realize that, amen? So I'll do the best I can. I have a shorter outline. We'll see how that works out. But I do appreciate the word that came our way last week from Caroline. She continues to have issues with her knees, so continue to keep her in your prayers. But she spoke the word of the Lord clearly last week, and we're blessed by that. And then for Dr. Creed the week before that, and I appreciate all your many acts of love and kindness shown to me and my family during my surgery. And again, it is good to be back here in this place. Several announcements. One, we want to mention that our goal for Sunday week for high attendance Sunday is going to be 190. And that's not too big a stretch. I was glad to see 132 instead of 100 today. But use this as an opportunity. You know, there may be a member who has just kind of fallen by the way. This would be a wonderful chance to say, hey, we need you to help us. And it may be because I find sometimes folks will say, you know, I've been out so long, I'm just kind of embarrassed to go back. And you can say, hey, we need you to come. You can help us this Sunday and maybe get somebody back and get somebody rekindled and see how God might use that to change a family. This is big work we're doing. It's important work we're doing. And we need to understand that God gives us this opportunity. So 190, I hope we will exceed that, but we're looking forward to that. And then also that begins our revival that Sunday morning. We're looking forward to hearing Dr. Haley. We have special testimonies through, we have three lined up right now, but we may have even more as we get closer. But we're excited about what God is up to. In that vein, if you're part of our prayer council, we'll be meeting this Tuesday night to discuss the prayer walk that is this Saturday. And I hope that you plan to be a part of that and you see those opportunities for you to be involved next Saturday from 10 to 12. We'll be here. There'll be special stations for you to come by. We had some 40 that came by. And the word that I got as folks left was, I didn't realize how meaningful that moment would be. And I would just tell you right now that you can come and experience something that if you've never done prayer walking before, there's nothing like it. And it will change you. I think God often gives us opportunities to change, but we have to take advantage when God gives us those moments. This is such a moment. I hope you'll come and be a part of that. If you have put out a sign, then you already have your stake. You need to change it. They're in the atrium. Pick you up a revival sign. If you didn't get one of the Have You Heard, Are You Ready signs, then there's some stakes out there as well. And we'd love for everybody all over this community to put out that our revival and the dates, the information is there. And the bottom line says what we're praying for. All are welcome. And so we hope that that could be our message as we share that. Let me just invite you as we begin to see, you'll see a lot of information about our wild game dinner that's coming. You'll see we're going to have a little competition beginning at 4:30. I do want to say a very special word of thanks to Audrey, really, and those that helped her. They had a shower planned, and we had to switch because our speaker, and they switched. And I know that was an inconvenience for them, but I really appreciate your willingness to help us do that. I think the speaker that we have coming, Chris Douglas, many people in this community will know who he is. And I hope that there may be someone come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of our wild game dinner. That is our hope and our prayer that it could call us to be closer. There's some information. If you could help us get that word out for the 25th, we would be greatly appreciative of that as well. There are other announcements, other opportunities, other involvements. Bill, are we meeting?
We got
Okay.
Okay. We had a meeting scheduled for our search committee, but that's going to be postponed at this point. So please note that as well. Trying to think if there's anything else we need to say. Any other announcements that we need to talk about this morning? Then inside your bulletin, you'll also find our prayer concerns. There are some names that we need to add to that list. We need to add the family of Ann Cameron. We want to be remembering that family. Her funeral is today. We also want to add the name of Amber Turney, who lives out this way, was involved in an automobile accident, is at Chapel Hill in the hospital. We want to keep her lifted up. And then a community person that many of you know, I think, is also at Chapel Hill, Ruth Morrison. We want to add her name to our prayer concerns. And you'll see the other names that are there. And when we come to that place, we certainly want to be remembering them in our prayers as well. Would you take a moment to clear your mind and open your heart to be receptive to what God might say as our instruments play? Pray with me. It is because of your amazing grace that I once was lost, but now am found. Oh God, with that powerful, life-changing, eternal decision become the most important thing that I have to share. May it become my most important opinion. May it become my most important task. May it become my most important motivation. May it become my most important goal to share your love. Be with us now, Lord, as we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray.
Unity. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forever forgive their sins and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Unity is a tremendous word and an awesome concept. The very idea is found in the name of our nation, the United States of America. But are we? It seems there is a tremendous strain on the one nation, indivisible, these days. The political divide seems wider, the racial tension seems more intense, and the undercurrent seems to be pulling us apart more than the gentle current of us all going downstream together. Jesus warns we who are believers that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Luke tells us over and over again in the books of Acts that the disciples were in one accord, and God blessed their works in amazing ways. Paul mentions over and over again in his letter to the early churches to maintain unity, be of one accord, be one body, and agree with one another. The idea of unity in the New Testament is not an afterthought, but a beginning point. A divided church leads to pain, ineffectiveness, anger, and ultimately a breakdown. It was that way in biblical times and is that way today. When Jesus was speaking of division in Mark 3, he was referring to the devil at work. Satan can often use things like our opinion to lead us down the road of division. Churches have split over the color of carpet in a building to which side the church the piano should go on. Those items weren't the problem. The lack of unity was the real tool of Satan. How can Satan divide the saints? When we choose our way over God's ways. When we are trying to live fully in the world and partially in the kingdom. We can quickly find ourselves conflicted, and that conflict can ultimately lead to the breakdown of unity. An old adage of the Baptists has been, we agree to disagree agreeably. This is important for us if we are to guard the unity of our church and allow God to revive us in new way. The first time we want our way in the church setting more often than God's way, we have made the first step down the road of disunity. Loving God first, seeking God first, and then loving our neighbor as we do ourselves will protect the unity of the church. As we lay the stone of unity upon the altar of revival, may God help us to recognize that unity is important for us to maintain. The more we are together, pray together, study together, worship together, cry together, laugh together, serve together, the more we will grow together. When our unity is built on the rock that Christ Jesus our Lord, then and only then may we proclaim, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Today we lay the stone of unity.
Hymn number 329, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Let's stand as we sing.
Oh, Let us pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us here on another beautiful Sunday morning. Please, Lord, get us ready for the spirit of revival, our unity as a community and beyond. Please, Lord, bring people here during that week of revival and bring the glory back to you. Use this offering for your glory as well. And forgive us our many sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Invite our children down. We have visitors. Please bring them. Okay, good morning. So glad you're here. I have a flower I want you to look at this morning. What do you think might have happened to this flower? What might have happened to it? Doesn't look very great, does it? What happened? Didn't get enough water, exactly. Anything else? Didn't get enough sunlight, did it? Plants need sunlight. What else is wrong with it? Anything else? What? The leaves are turning yellow, aren't they? They're probably going to fall off. Look at that bloom there. It's dead, isn't it? All right. I had that in my house, and I just kind of neglected that flower, didn't I? I forgot to water it. I walked around, and I thought, well, I need to water that flower, but I'll get it later. And I just kind of forgot about it. Isn't that terrible? But you know what? I could revive that flower. I could start taking care of it and make it pretty again, couldn't I? I'm sure I could. If you'll look at this one, see, I did a better job with this one, didn't I? This one I looked after. This one I watered it and I gave it light. And if it got too hot where it was, I moved it. I really did a good job with this one. But I can also revive that one, can't I? And you know, sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we need reviving, don't we? And that flower is a good example of that. Sometimes we get like this flower that's all flopped. We need to be revived. We need to be rekindled. Sometimes we forget to pray, don't we? And sometimes we don't ask God how to do something. What we need to do, we just go on and do it ourselves. We forget. We neglect our relationship with God. We don't worship. Well, we need nourishment, just like that flower needs nourishment. We need to be fed, don't we? Just like that flower needs fertilizer. We get fed with God's Word from the Bible, don't we? We get fed at worship time, just like right now. We get fed when Pastor Gary worships with us. And we also want to worship with other Christians, don't we? So we can be together. I want to read you from Acts chapter 3, 19. And I want you to listen to two words, especially because it's a short verse. I want you to listen to repeat and refresh. Okay? Acts 3, 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Refreshing is the same as revived, isn't it? Same thing. And in Psalms 19, it tells us that if we are revived, if we have a great relationship with God, that there will be joy in our hearts, light to our eyes, and it's even more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. And that's the way we want to be, isn't it? All right, so have you heard about revival? You have to have heard about revival at our church, haven't you? And we want you to come every night and worship with us, and we want you to invite a friend. So now you know what revival is all about. It means revived, doesn't it? And we want to be revived like this pretty flower. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask you to prepare our hearts for revival. We ask that we this week go about next 2 weeks and think about what we need to do to prepare ourselves and to prepare to invite others. Don't let us neglect this. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay, thanks for coming.
John 8:12-19. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have a life filled with light and will never live in the dark." The Pharisees said to him, "You testify on your own behalf. Your testimony isn't true." Jesus replied to them, "Even if I testify on my behalf, my testimony is true because I know where I came from and where I'm going. However, you don't know where I came from or where I'm going. You judge the humans. I don't judge anyone. Even if I do judge, my judgment is valid because I don't make it on my own. I make my judgment with the Father who sent me. Your teachings say that the testimony of two people is true. I testify on my own behalf, and so does the Father who sent me. The Pharisees asked him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus replied, "You don't know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would also know my Father."
Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we do know you. We know you and the Father are one. And today we gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, three in one, the Trinity. More than our mind can understand, but something our heart knows is true. And Lord, there is much about you that's that way. When we limit ourselves to just what we can figure out, we limit ourselves. And so, Lord, today we come before you, recognizing you are above us and greater than our minds are able to comprehend. And yet, Lord, in that moment, we realize that that is where our hope lies, is that you are greater, and you can do more, and you can overcome all. And so, in you, our faith is placed. Heavenly Father, we pause to pray for people that we love, names on this list, family members, friends. We ask, O God, that you might bless them and use us as instruments of your grace and of your mercy. And God, we pray even now that you might renew in us a right spirit, that you might return to us the joy of our salvation, that you might create in us a clean heart, that you might prepare ourselves even now for your Spirit to fall fresh on our lives and for you to transform us from the ways of this world to which we are called to conform. But by the renewing of our spirit, by the renewing of our thinking, by the renewing of our mind and our heart, that we might leave this place with a newfound zeal, a newfound determination to maybe do some of those things we've tried to do in the past but failed. Maybe in our homes to make them stronger in our faith than they've ever been before. We pray, O God, for you to do a work in us that only you can do. And that in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives would echo these words, "Love the Lord, our God, with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves." For Lord, your love changes everything. And so, Lord, we invite you in to us and do a work. In Christ's name we pray.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. I'm not sure if there's much better than being forgiven. You ever been forgiven?
Amen.
You ever been forgiven? I mean, really forgiven. It's a powerful gift, isn't it? I want to make one correction to our bulletin. Our closing hymn is "Let Jesus Come Into Your Heart," but that's page 311. Page 311, not 305. If you would go ahead maybe and mark that, I'll remind us of that at the end of our service again. And then if you would, I'd invite you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. That's right before 2 John. If you are a student of the Bible, and if you are a believer, you ought to be a student of the Bible. You'll know that we have three Gospels that are very similar: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In fact, over 90% of what is found in Mark is also found in Luke and in Matthew. And then there's another chunk of Scripture that's common both to Matthew and Luke, not in Mark. And then there's the Gospel of John. And less than 7% of what is in John is found in either Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And then when we put that in what we call the Johannine writings, we couple the Gospel of John with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and you'll find a great repeated theme. I guess John chapter 10, and then also in chapter 14, and then in 1 John especially, we are commanded, we are demanded, we are simply told that if we have no love, we have no faith. If we don't love like God, then we are not of God. It's a high bar. But as the choir sang, we've been forgiven. We've been blessed by God in so many ways that His demand for us to love, well, it makes sense, doesn't it? It's really what I think separates the Christian faith from all others: our call to love. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 through 12. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? I'm glad you asked. That's not in the text. For love is from God. And whoever loves, has been born of God and knows God. Let's read it again. That's powerful. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. That's just too good. Let's read it again. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, His begotten Son, His same substance, His homoousion, His very core, His very nature, God in flesh, the incarnation, His only Son into the world, so that you and I, who love like God, that we might live through Christ. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, so also ought we to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. Wow, those are just such powerful words. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us for a moment right now? That we might be caught in the reality of your love. That we might be shaped and fashioned into something new because of your love. And that we might become the very channel through which your love flows. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, Caroline reminded us of our walk in faith. And today I want to share a word. That word is love. It can mean so much. I was talking with my daughter Becky, and she works in daycares and churches. And she was in one, and she noticed a bulletin board for the daycare, where they had asked the kids to write one sentence defining love. I think that ought to be your assignment, to write one sentence to describe love. And she noticed that those kids had said such neat things like, love is when daddy hugs me, or mama kisses me on the cheek, or when granddaddy lets me sit in his lap. Aren't those wonderful images of a child understanding love? But I love what one little fellow wrote. He wrote, love is when mom fixes me bacon. I like that. I like that. I like bacon too. What do you say? No, not what do you say. What do you mean when you tell somebody you love them? Someone has mentioned we tell that person we want to spend the rest of our life with that we love them. And we also mentioned that we love catfish. So that word, it must have some different meaning. Well, in the Greek, there are up to 6 words, 4 in the New Testament, that are often used and described. First is that word philo, brotherly love. The city of brotherly love. You know that city, right? Philadelphia. Storge, that of natural affections, that of treating people the way you want to be treated. Eros, that passionate kind of love, from which the root we get the word erotic. But then there's the word that's used in our text today, the word agape, a selfless love. It's the kind of love that a man with very little feelings might do in that moment when duty calls him to agape, and for him to fall on a hand grenade to protect his fellow soldiers. That kind of love that says, I'm not as important as agape is important. I've discovered that when I love in my own strength, I'm limited. Everybody loves. You know, there are folks that maybe have never been in church or never even heard the name of Christ who would say to a fellow person, I love you, and mean it. But what they might mean might be as far different from being hugged and kissed to fixing bacon. I'm still trying to learn what it means to love like God. I think in this day and time when there seems to be more confusion about what is right and what is wrong. You know, the scriptures tell us that in the latter days, there'll be a lot of confusion. Things that used to be wrong will be right. Things that used to be right will be wrong. That's our world today. But I'm still trying to learn what it means to let go and let God. I love that phrase, and it's just a neat phrase, isn't it? Let go and let God. To love in a different way. I spend a lot of time, and I must be honest, sometimes not just wondering, but sometimes worrying. I don't think we should worry, but I'm being confessional today. Sometimes I worry about the complexities of this world because it seems to me by all the statistics that I can read and all the conversations that I can have, and even in our own experience here at Flat Springs, that it seems like the church is headed in the wrong direction. Our baptisms are down. Our attendance is down. And we've discovered, the search committee, especially over this last year, that fewer and fewer folks are going into the ministry. In fact, I heard that this past year, the enrolling class at the Campbell Divinity School, which in its first year had, I think, almost 45 students, this year had 8. What's going on? And then I go back to that little almost cliche. Are we letting go and let God? Have we turned loose and allowed God to move into our midst? And so here I must ask the question. And I ponder this question. I struggle with this question. I struggle in my own life. I struggle in my own ministry. I really do. I struggle to ask myself this question. Am I doing what I'm doing in my own strength? Are we doing church in our strength, in the way we know how to do church, you and I? Do we have a church full of philo, brotherly love, and storge, naturally affectionate, but not a lot of agape? You see, he tells us very early in this passage, in verse 7, love, this kind of agape, it's from God. It's different than worldly love. It's different than the way that I love bacon. It's even different how in my own strength I love you. It is a strength that comes from God Himself. I often will find myself looking up into space and just going, wow, at the vastness of God's creative power. And then I sometimes try to wrap my feeble brain around how can a God who is such a great creator have any personal walk with me, or have any desire to know what I'm thinking or what I'm feeling, or even to answer my prayer, or even to be able to continue to shape me and mold me if I submit to His power. In fact, that's one of the major arguments, is that the vastness of the creation is so vast, how could there be a God who is over all and personally involved with all? And when I ponder those thoughts and have those difficult ways of thinking, I then begin to realize, as I prayed earlier today, God, I'm so much better off that you're so much greater than I can even imagine. I'm so much better off that although I sometimes, with the limited ability and the limited knowledge that I have, think I've got things figured out. Anybody here got things figured out? But sometimes I live like I've got it figured out. And I walk by my facts and my strength rather than by my faith. I'm probably the only one. Then I began to be thankful for God's amazing grace. And when I hear that word omniscience and omnipotence, all-knowing and all-powerful, I realize I even want to limit that to my understanding of what all-powerful is. Somewhere like Superman, you know, able to jump tall buildings with a single bound. That seems unlimited to me. But I don't know that God's still not creating the universe out there somewhere. I'm not sure he's done yet. And yet I know, through faith, that when I bow my head and I close my eyes and I say, God, out of my love for you, I want you to do some things in my life, God's Spirit comes. Love is from God. And he tells us that love is for God. Love's not a feeling like that one falling on the grenade. Or like one hanging on a cross. We remember him, don't we? Agape on the cross. When we receive the love of God and we are committed to loving like God, it changes everything. St. Augustine wrote these words so many years ago. A mind through which, speaking of a believer, a disciple, he says, that is a person who, a mind through which Christ thinks, a voice through which Christ speaks, a hand through which Christ helps, and a heart through which Christ loves. Wow. That's what a disciple is, isn't it? Well, since I've been out for 2 weeks, maybe confession is good for the soul. Let me share with you. Sometimes it's hard for me to think like Christ. Now, it's easy for me to think like Gary. That just comes so natural to me. But it is those moments when I lie and suddenly my thoughts are interrupted and I think that I could be praying right now. And on some occasions, I even pause and pray. I heard someone say, disciples never ask Christ to teach them how to say a prayer. Disciples ask him how to pray. Love. Like Christ. Love like God. Love in this beautiful image where he said, God sent his Son that we might live through him, that our love might be not only from God, but for God, that our love might touch other people. In Galatians 5:22-23, it's a famous passage. You probably know it. You may not know it by its reference, but you may know it by its title, The Fruits of the Spirit. And it says this in verse 22 and following, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no love. There's no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, it says. And then it goes on to describe what love can do. It brings joy and peace. And then it describes the characteristics of love, I think, that love is patient and is kind, it's good, it's faithful, it's gentle. It's full of self-control. That sounds like agape to me. I love what John Edgerton says in his transliteration called The Message. Listen to his words. But what happens when we live God's way? Isn't that a great question? What happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way as fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way. Loving for God. You know, I am so excited that revival starts in 2 weeks. And I'm excited about what's going to happen. But you know what I'm most excited about? About what's going to be different after revival. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. What God's going to say through the testimonies, through the music, through the prayers, and through the proclamation. Oh, for God to love more in me. We're told in this passage that if we are of God, then we will love like God. And he says that God desires to perfect his love in me. Now, I've got to tell you, God's got a way to go with me to perfection. I'm not there. I'm not even as close as I wish I were. And I know I'm not as close as I ought to be. But God's love can take care of an awful lot of things. Not to love like the world, but to allow God to perfect his love. I'm praying for Flat Springs that God will pour out his blessing upon us. I believe that we are strategically located in this community. I believe that when God breathed the idea into someone's heart in 1905 to begin a church, he knew about the Deep River Forest Project, that 1,250 homes are coming this way. And he said, I tell you what, I'm going to let the church get a head start. And we're here. And God's blessed us. He's blessed us with, go ahead and say it, the best people on the earth. At least some of us. I'll let you figure out who. He's blessed us. He's blessed us with some saints that sacrifice greatly to see this church where it is. He's blessed us with folks who have faithfully stood in Sunday school classes before young people, RAs and GAs, teaching choirs. He has blessed us that we might be a blessing. Amen. He's blessed us that we might be a blessing. Beloved, that's love. For love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God. And he knows God. Anyone who doesn't love doesn't know God. Why? Because God is love. And in this, love of God was made manifest among us. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live. Try to love you like Jesus this week. Pray for me. Because I'll always want to revert back to loving you like Gary. But oh, I pray God would help me for a few more minutes this week. Maybe even a few more hours this week. to love like Jesus, to see people like Jesus would see them, to hear people like Jesus would hear them, to post on Facebook like Jesus would post on Facebook, to walk in this community with the same goals that Jesus had. Beloved, my beloved, love, blessed be the name. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us in this moment of decision? For Lord, the world's just waiting for that door of this sanctuary to crack open. And it won't even wait for us to get in the parking lot. It will flow in like the air. It will flow in like flood waters outside the little creek's banks. But Lord, remind us that your love can withstand the world. That this week we could live above the world. That this week in love we could stand beside the world. And we could help the world that is around us. That was your plan. When Christ hung on the cross and said, "It is finished." Now, Lord, help me to take up my cross and follow you with Christ-like love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is page 311. Let Jesus' love come into your heart. This morning, if God is speaking to you and you need to make some decision for him, we would encourage you, we would invite you, we would challenge you to do so as we stand together. Next Sunday, we'll lay the seventh stone, the stone of renewal, upon the altar. And we'll be out of Sundays before revival begins. And the altar will be complete. God waits to send his Spirit to hearts that are open to receive. You're praying now for David Haley. I'm having lunch with him Tuesday. I pray that in that conversation, God will use that preparation in our prayers. That God will say things maybe that we've heard 100 times, but this time our spirit will hear it. And our spirit, with God's Holy Spirit, will bring revival. Brothers and sisters, we need revival. Our community needs revival. Our world needs God's reviving spirit. Pray. Pray hard. Plan to be here. Invite people, especially Wednesday night, the 15th, when the service will be geared toward accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. Fill this place up, and God will fill our spirit. God is trustworthy. I know He will. Thank you for all you do and all you have done. Make sure you get your signs if you don't have them. And as we leave this place, we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, in His love, that we might be His people of love in the midst of all the people of this world that He loves. Would you pray? God, we leave now. We're leaving the sanctuary and we're going to the mission field. Go with us. Make us mindful of all the divine appointments that are all around us, of people who need a word, who need a prayer, who need a love, a hug, an encouragement. Give us strength to be your missionaries in Deep River, in Sanford, in Lee County, in North Carolina, or wherever you may take us this week. In Jesus' name we pray.
Joy.